is EM Sports Talk with your host, Eric Melton.
My young waking up to slur. They wanna see me do my dance in these $1,000 pants. Don't disrespect me and my mans. Bam, whole lot of choppers on your head. Tram, we just putting dollars on your head. This nerd, he gave his mama to the feds. Little brother, big brother, side I got the dress. DZ, DT, side I keep the bands. Little can't keep her poop on my hands. Got a real hood rat sookie on my hands. House like a blues rolling cookies on the head. I be in the bay rolling cookies on the head. I be in the nuts, dude. And me is blessed. Cause I can't be jealous of you, I'm never stressed. See the booty from the bottom, that thing a double deck. Let me white boys on that thing, you Sam Decker. Heard you used to chew on that thing, had a collector. Have you popping all the other he fletches, he's true. And the joke, my nigga, I'm just telling you. Your manager got you in this shop and he's selling. They wanna see me do my thing in these brand new V's.
EM Sports Talk back with another episode. It's a big one. A lot has went down last week. A lot of NBA coaches hired. Shocking news that Tua Tagovailoa is going to start for the Dolphins probably for the rest of the season. We go over this episode. We're going to talk about, I'm going to go over five big games this week for college, which is tomorrow. I'm recording this episode on a Friday. We're talking about the Instagram poll of the week. Is Sam Darnold, will the Jets keep Sam Darnold or draft Trevor Lawrence if they was to get the number one overall pick, which I think they will. They're the worst team in the league. NFL game of the week, Steelers, Titans, big game. Both teams 5-0. We're going to talk about that. Stan Van Gundy, was that a good move to go to New Orleans? He was just hired, I want to say Wednesday or Thursday. And I'm going to give you my top five prospects so far through 7 weeks of college football. EM Sports Talk, roll the music. EM Sports Talk is back. Today is Friday, October 23rd, 2020. Like I said, a lot to talk about this episode. And we're gonna get right into it because this question's been on my mind and I've been seeing all the analysts and ESPN, Fox Sports, all that talk about what happens if Sam Darnold, if the New York Jets get the first overall pick in this upcoming 2021 draft, right? And of course, the biggest prospect is Trevor Lawrence. Everyone's talking about this is the best quarterback they have seen in so long. Best quarterback prospect, right? And this is an interesting question because I ask people, do the Jets keep Sam Darnold, trade back into the draft, meaning trade the first pick for multiple picks, right? And use those picks to build around and use that cap space. They got a lot of money to spend to build around Sam Darnold. Or do they completely trade Sam Darnold and this upcoming, actually they could get rid of him in the offseason. This upcoming November 3rd is actually, a lot of stuff is happening November 3rd. You got the election day. You got the trade deadline for the NFL. They can trade Sam Darnold, draft Trevor Lawrence, and hope he doesn't get home wrecked like Sam Darnold did. Even to me, I think it makes no sense to draft another young quarterback and put him in the harm that you have done for Sam Darnold, okay? Because me personally, 2018 was I think Josh Allen and Darnold was the two best quarterbacks coming out that draft class. Not Baker Mayfield, not Josh Rosen. I think it was Josh Allen, and the guy, Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is a hell of a quarterback. He has great arm talent. His arm ain't as strong as Josh Allen's. But what set their careers apart so far is Josh Allen's coaching staff in Buffalo was committed to building a team around Josh Allen's play style. He got a strong arm, so they went and got deep and short route intermediate players. John Brown, Cole Beasley, they just got Stephon Diggs this last offseason. So it really did not make sense for Buffalo to draft that guy and put him up for failure. They improved their offensive line. They got some help on the defensive side, so he's not on the field throwing the ball 53 times a game. He got a solid running back in Devin Singletary, and they drafted Zach Moss, in last year's draft. So Buffalo has been committed to building around Josh Allen's play style. Not in New York. when they after his rookie year with Todd Bowles, it was a disaster. He had Todd Bowles got fired. They brought in a whole new everything: defensive coordinator, head coach, offensive coordinator. They brought in a new general manager. So they really haven't been really committed to bringing in the guys that fit Sam Darnold's play style. Sam Darnold fumbled a lot at USC. And I said that when he came out, and I said, damn, this guy fumbles a lot. But what I said was going to happen is Sam Darnold needs to go to a team that has a great offensive line, who has a decent receiving core, and who has a good running back. The Jets let his favorite receiver go this past offseason to the Carolina Panthers. Just let him go. Just let him walk. Didn't even try to get him back in New York, which is Robbie Anderson, was Sam Darnold's favorite receiver by far. And Quincy Enunwa was his top target before. He's injury prone as hell. He can't stay healthy. But what I was trying to tell people is Sam Darnold he showed some toughness, you know, got slammed on the shoulder against Denver, stayed in the game, put him in a position to win some part of that game, you know. But I think Sam Darnold needs players like what Josh Allen has in Buffalo. His arm not as good. But then they brung in an experiment with Le'Veon Bell, which did not work out, which I knew it wasn't going to work out because the Jets' offensive line is atrocious. And that's not helping Sam Darnold's development either. Sam Darnold, to me, I think the Instagram poll said 83% keep Sam Darnold, 17% draft Trevor Lawrence. And I think they're right on it. Because if the Jets keep Sam Darnold, trade back out of the first overall pick, because really there's no other guy that's worthy of that than Trevor Lawrence, right? Find someone, which right now Jacksonville will be picking 9th in the draft. And I think that's a suitable a trade back, because you're going to still have Seattle's pick late first round. Or you might can actually get 3 if you play your cards right. You get what I'm saying? So if the Jets trade back from 1 to 9, let Jacksonville take Trevor Lawrence, which fits, it will be a better situation for Trevor Lawrence. And I say you take that. I think you go get Penny Sewell or Jamar Chase. Help build you're going to have 2 mountains of men playing tackle for you for the future, for the next 10 years probably. You're going to have Mekhi Becton on the left tackle, right tackle. You could have Penny Sewell. And with that second pick in the draft, if there's any big receivers left, like Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith from Alabama, the receiving class is going to be really deep again like last year. You got the guy from Purdue, Rondale Moore. You got Jadon Hasselwood from Oklahoma. You got a lot of talent coming out of this year's draft class, again, for wide receivers. Or do you take the center from Oklahoma and Creed Humphrey? Do you go get you another solid player to help Sam Darnold, protect Sam Darnold? Do you take 2 offensive linemen? I think it's worth it. Why not? Just like Miami, they took a lot of offensive linemen, and it's working out. They're developing, as I think it's really good for them to develop their offensive line together. Mix it in there with a couple veterans. They got Connor McGovern at center. He ain't the best, but it probably makes sense if they go Penny Sewell, Jamar Chase. If Jamar Chase is available in the late first round, I don't know, because he didn't play this year, so I don't know. And also, you can get Travis Etienne from Clemson at running back, because you let Le'Veon Bell walk to the Kansas City Chiefs for nothing. And you can go ahead and get you a stud of a running back and Travis Etienne to help Trevor Lawrence take some of the pressure off Sam Darnold. And he did it for Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. He could do it for you. Oh, Najee Harris is another option. He was balling. Right now looks like the best running back in college so far this year. He looks good. You can get Leatherwood from Alabama. There's so many options for the Jets. If they play their cards right in this coming draft, I think they can get 2 studs coming out this first round, future all-stars. I just named a lot of good guys on that team. But they have to play their cards right. And if they want Sam Darnold to succeed, They got to be, that general manager and Joe Douglas got to be committed to finding the guy to coach that team, because if everyone is complaining about, even your defensive coordinator is not happy with Adam Gase, who is a defensive-minded coach, who stunk the bed in Miami. You hire him after coming from a terrible stint in Miami to come coach a second-year quarterback who's coming off a pretty bad year on a pretty bad team, a terrible team. The Jets haven't been relevant in probably in 10 years. Let's keep, since they've been to the AFC Championship game when Mark Sanchez was their quarterback. They haven't been relevant since then. They just haven't figured it out at the, just as a team in general. Not even the quarterback position. I think they found a guy, but I think they got to be committed to getting them a young offensive-minded coach. Not even really young, but someone who understands the quarterback position, because Adam Gase almost ruined Ryan Tannehill's career when he was in Miami. Tannehill goes to Vrabel's system in Tennessee, and he's excelling right now. He's an MVP candidate. He's playing out of control. He got $89 million this past offseason. So I think Sam Darnold, his career can get revived if they go get a quarterback coach and a solid head coach that's offensive-minded. I think Sam Darnold has a big bounce-back year next season. They got to get him some help. It's not going to be easy. They got to get him some help. I think that's going to be key. And speaking of college and quarterbacks and stuff, big week coming up for college. Big Ten football returns, baby. That's going to be huge, because everybody's been saying a lot of these guys been soft. Like, the rankings been all messed up without the Big Ten. And Pac-12 football returns soon. You got Mountain West is kicking off this weekend. I want to say Conference USA, if I'm not mistaken. I got to recheck on that. I forget who else kicks off this year. But college football, all the big conferences are slowly coming back. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And I got five big games that I'm going to be looking at. Not really big for one of them, but a game that's going to be interesting to watch. And the first one I'm going with is NC State versus North Carolina. Battle of North Carolina. You got North Carolina, who's ranked right now. They lost a heartbreaker to Florida State. And I feel bad for Sam Howell to watch that game. His receivers in that last drive was just atrocious. But I think North Carolina has a huge opportunity to bounce back this week against a pretty beaten-up NC State team. They're favored by 15.5 points, but they were favored by 21 against Florida State and lost. So anything can happen with that defense. Their defense is not playing the greatest, but they held them in that game against Florida State. But I think Sam Howell has to play much better this week. He has to get going early. Denny Brown is looking like one of the best receivers in college this season. He's having a huge year. 17 receptions, 296 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's Sam Howell's go-to receiver every play, pretty much. Deep balls. Sam Howell has to play better. He's 77 for 119, 1,151 yards, 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. His touchdown numbers have to excel. Mac Jones has 12 touchdowns. Trevor Lawrence has 13 touchdowns. If you want to be in that category with the good quarterbacks, this is a big game for him to come out and beat up on NC State. I think North Carolina wins this game. I think they're going to, but if you're going to go over-under, I'm taking the over. I don't think this game is going to be as a blowout as people think it is. I think North Carolina State is going to give North Carolina a run for their money this week. Big game, though, for North Carolina to bounce back into the rankings. I was kind of shocked that Florida State lost that game North Carolina lost that game to Florida State because it was a huge week. It was a game for Sam Mac Brown to show, hey, I can beat Florida State. He never did it. And, you know, that's what happened. Cincinnati versus SMU. Top 25 rankings. SMU coming off of, I think, a big win last week, if I'm not mistaken. Cincinnati's ranked 8th. SMU's ranked, I believe, they ranked 16, around there. Cincinnati is not favored to win this game. SMU is playing at home at the Cotton Bowl. They projected to win by, they're favored by 2 points, 2.5 points. But I think Desmond Ridder is going to have a big game. It's going to be a shootout, I believe, in SMU. I think Cincinnati take this game, though. I think Cincinnati is a really good team, and that's why they rank eighth. People are sleeping on Cincinnati. But I think Cincinnati is going to have lots of opportunity to score points this game. I think Cincinnati wins this game actually by 10. I think it's going to be a shootout, but Cincinnati pulls away at the end of this game over SMU. Michigan, Minnesota versus Michigan, top 25 matchup again. Michigan's ranked, not ranked, but Michigan is favored by 3 points this game. And ladies and gentlemen, Minnesota can start the season off with a bang. Had a big week. They had a big year last year, not week, but a huge year last year. They beat Penn State. They was for real last year. I believe in this team. I think Minnesota goes into Michigan and Ann Arbor and beat Michigan to start the season. This is a big game. This could have been easily the college football game of the week. Big Ten returns. What a way to start the Big Ten season. Minnesota versus Michigan. I think Minnesota has more talent than Michigan. This, the returning players aspect of it, not like overall, because Michigan, you know, they get a lot of big five-star recruits, things like that. But I feel like if Michigan wants to win this game, they got to rely on that defense. And I think Dylan McCaffrey is starting for Michigan Saturday, tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. So with Dylan McCaffrey not, you know, playing starting at quarterback, a lot of Michigan can hurt him. Like I said, their defense is going to have to play exceptional to beat Minnesota. And another game I want to talk about is Oklahoma versus TCU. They're playing at TCU. Oklahoma's favored by 6.5 points. Spencer Rattler, this is some big keys to this game because I got Oklahoma winning. They're coming off a big game against Texas 2 weeks ago. They had a bye week, much needed bye week, because that game was a five overtime game. They played exceptional offensively in that game, and that's why I believe Oklahoma will win, because Spencer Rattler was shined in that overtime against Texas. But I got some keys for this game. Spencer Rattler, point blank period, has to limit his turnovers against TCU. You don't want to give them chances at the chance for them to get back into the game. I think Oklahoma has to execute fast in a hurry. I think they win this game, they can get back in the top 25 easily. But they got to beat the crap out of TCU. They only favored by 6.5. It could get worse if Oklahoma plays good football defensively and offensively. And a guy I watch, diehard fan of RJ Young show, shout out to him. I love that show, but I got to see what he's going to take on this TCU game, because I think Spencer Rattler has to limit his turnovers, even though he only has 5 interceptions to 13 touchdowns. His fumble, he fumbles a lot. He's getting hit. They got to protect him better. Oklahoma's probably the worst offensive line Oklahoma had in a long time. I can tell you that. Creed Humphrey is like their star on offensive line right now, and he's getting the hell out of there after this season. So they got to find ways to get better offensive linemen in Oklahoma. But TCU, Matt Duggan, just have to have a huge game to keep up with Oklahoma scoring, I believe. He's their leading rusher right now at TCU. He's their leading passer, of course. He don't have eye-popping stats, but I think if TCU's favored, I mean, if Oklahoma's only favored by 6.5, they believe in Matt Duggan more than I do, but I just don't see it. But I think the key to this game, Duggan's going to have a huge game, but I'm taking Oklahoma in this game. And finally, Alabama versus Tennessee. Now, I put this game down because I'm a Bama fan. I watch every Bama game every Saturday. But they're favored by 21.5 points. But I think that number is just is pretty much they're going off what they've seen second half of the Georgia game defensively for Bama. I feel like if Bama defense needs to start strong and keep Tennessee out the game early, if Bama defense plays flat, come out giving up big plays to Garantano at quarterback and letting Tennessee go crazy, it's not going to be a good, you know, it's going to be another shootout for Bama. But their defense got to start strong, and maybe we can see that five-star quarterback come in the game a little bit and play in Bryce Young. Maybe, because Alabama really haven't blew anyone out yet this season. so we really haven't got a chance to see him. But Mac Jones got to just keep playing his game. 12 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Najee Harris is the leading rusher in the country right now with 499 rushing yards with 7 touchdowns, ladies and gentlemen. The guy is playing out of his mind. Bama's offensive line is absolutely going crazy. But I also do believe that Tennessee can offensive line is good enough to run the ball on Alabama's defensive line, who actually played a hell of a game second half against Georgia. They're going to need another performance like that, but early, if they want to blow out Tennessee to keep the 21.5, because Alabama can easily let this game get into a shootout. That's what everyone's worried about. That's what I'm worried about watching this game tomorrow, because I don't want to see Alabama give up crazy shootout numbers against Tennessee, a pretty bad a team Georgia annihilated. So I think Alabama take care of business if the defense play exceptional. Not even exceptional, but good enough. Alabama could blow out Tennessee. All right, moving on next to, I want to go over the NFL game of the week. And the Steelers versus the Titans. And both teams are 5-0, only 3 undefeated teams left in this in the NFL. And I asked myself, who's this game bigger for, Tennessee or Pittsburgh? And I think it's Pittsburgh, because no one expected Tennessee to be 5-0 right now. No one. You know, they're playing a system game right now, pound the rock, and they're going to let Tannehill throw that thing a couple times. Basically, what the Cleveland Browns are trying to turn Mayfield in Cleveland, which, you know, they got annihilated against, they lost to the Colts pretty bad, not badly, but Mayfield looked bad. He looked terrible against Pittsburgh, so I don't know. But that game is interesting, because Pittsburgh, everyone's saying, oh, you beat up on bad teams. Pittsburgh offense is questionable. I think if they can go out there and beat up on a pretty good defensive Tennessee Titans team, who's top 5 right now in the NFL, I think the Steelers are legit, man. And it's scary, because I argue with Dan all offseason, right? I only gave Steelers 7 wins. I thought they was going to go 7-9. They still can. They still can. But it's going to be really scary if they beat up on the Tennessee Titans. And Roethlisberger and that offense get to prove, hey, we're just as good as our defense. But it's also a big game for Tannehill to not go out there and say, oh, I got to win this game on my own. Just run the damn offense. I think you can beat Pittsburgh. You run your offense to what you need to do. Don't get yourself in third and longs and throw pick sixes to Fitzpatrick and their corners and DBs. Just play your game. I think Tennessee has a chance to win this game, but I'm going with Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh still is going to beat the Tennessee Titans, remain undefeated. It's going to be an interesting game, a game that's going to come down to the wire. I might watch this game over the Bengals and Browns, because we fucking suck. I don't even want to talk about how we blew that game against the Colts, because the episode is going to be 3 hours long, how bad we looked in the second half of that. Even not really the second half, the second quarter to the second half of that game, we looked like shit. I don't even want to talk about it, but I think the Bengals are on an uptrend. The Bengals are on an uptrend, don't get me wrong, but I think the Steelers and Titans game is the biggest game in my eyes, because both teams undefeated. They both got something to prove a little bit. But I think the Steelers offense has a lot to prove to teams. Can they beat elite defenses? That's what everybody wants to know. That's what we're going to find out this Sunday. And also, the breaking news yesterday is Yannick Ngakoue is going to get traded. Well, he already got traded, pending a physical. I don't know why the hell it's a physical is pending. The guy he's active. He's playing right now. He played in Minnesota, but he's going to Baltimore. And this is absurd to me on Minnesota's hand, because they lost a second-round pick to Jacksonville to get him. Things didn't work out. The defense don't look as good as people thought they was going to look, with Danielle Hunter on one side and Yannick Ngakoue on the other. It just didn't work out in Minnesota for him. And I think Baltimore Ravens are just stealing players. I mean, absolutely robbing people blindly for these guys. Just like what they didn't have to give up anything pretty much to get Calais Campbell, who was having a pretty good season for them. But the Ravens' defense is absolutely scary. I think they're trying to find ways to pass rush Patrick Mahomes and get to Patrick Mahomes and beat those big AFC teams in the playoffs. But I don't think it's I think what's hurting the Ravens right now is a solid, not even great, but a solid wide receiver besides Marquise Brown. Marquise Brown is really not built to be a number one receiver in my eyes because he's a deep ball threat. He's not really going to go out there and get 80 catches a season. You get what I'm saying? They need a guy who's going to get basically be Lamar Jackson's safety blanket like Michael Thomas is to in New Orleans. I think they need a guy like that. I don't know how they're going to get him. Maybe Antonio Brown. They just signed Dez Bryant yesterday to their practice squad. Maybe he finds a way to help the Ravens finally get to the Super Bowl. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see that part. But I got a lot of hope for I got a lot of hope for the Ravens, man, this season. I think they're really scary, but Lamar Jackson got to get him a number one receiver. I think they could do it, though. The trade deadline is like a couple weeks away. I think they can do it. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Also, switching to NBA, done with football. It seemed like this whole show is about football, but it was not. Stan Van Gundy to New Orleans. Many people was thinking, oh, hell, who the hell is New Orleans going to hire as their head coach? They didn't go to a young guy. They went and got a seasoned head coach who's really made his mark in his league. He worked with Dwight Howard in Orlando when he was young. Can Stan Van Gundy be the guy to turn around Zion Williamson's career? I think he can. Because, not turn around, but build. Because he had a hell of a, he built a solid guy with Dwight Howard when he was coaching him. So I think Stan Van Gundy, I'm not going to say a lot because I don't know too much on Stan Van Gundy. Never really cared about, you know, Stan Van Gundy. But Stan Van Gundy, I think, is going to have a solid, is going to coach this young roster perfectly. I think they're not going to, you know, be championship contenders, might not even make the playoffs. But I think New Orleans is on the right, on the upspring. But I do think they got to get rid of Jrue Holiday. That's for another show. Jrue Holiday's just not working no more in New Orleans. And like I said before the episode is over, I'm going to go over my top five. I wouldn't even say draft picks yet, my mock draft yet. I'm just going to give you five of my, you know, so far from this season, like players that I thought is having a really good year so far. And of course, number one is Trevor Lawrence from Clemson. He's playing out of his fucking mind right now for Clemson. They just beat the crap out of Georgia Tech. They played five different quarterbacks. They had the damn punter at quarterback in that game, 73-7. I mean, it was atrocious. It was atrocious. It was really atrocious in that game. I watched that game and they blew the hell out of Georgia Tech. They beat the crap out of them. Number two, Mac Jones. He's coming off a big game against Georgia. He's defying the odds. People would say, oh, I don't know how Matt Jones can play because without, what's his name, without Tua, the Bama offense isn't going to work. Mac Jones is playing exceptional football right now and probably the best quarterback play besides Trevor Lawrence. I think they're neck and neck in the NFL. Number three, I'm going with, a lot of this might shock you, but number three, I'm going with Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida. This guy is having a huge year. He's on track to have 1,000 receiving yards. He's on track to have 20 touchdowns, for God's sake, for Florida. He's playing exceptional football right now. And it's better football than what people is giving him credit for, you know. And another guy, number four, Patrick Surtain Jr. is playing great football. If you look at the film and study Alabama, it's not him that's getting roasted. It's the young guys. Patrick Surtain is playing exceptional football right now, and he looks really good. And I'm not being biased because I'm a Bama fan. That I'm gonna at five right now is Najee Harris. I'm not being biased, but that's just what I see because Big Ten haven't played yet. Ja'Marr Chase haven't even played a game yet. So, you know, that's what I'm going with. You can, you know, say what just, you know, you can comment and tell me what you think. But I think that's what I'm leaning towards. And whoever watched the shit show of the Giants and Eagles last night, if you want me to talk about that, let's just I can sum up that the whole NFC East in one play when Daniel Jones broke that 88-yard and tripped up 10 yards before the end zone. That just describes that whole game and the season of the NFC East in general. That's it. I'm not going to even spend time talking about that shit-ass game last night. It was, I just couldn't watch the whole game. It was so boring. I watched the presidential debate over the Giants versus the Eagles. That's how boring that game was. But, you know, great game for Wentz, bounce back, and they got him a win. Yeah. Song of the week goes to Sada Baby, Whole Lotta Choppas. A lot of people say, oh, this song is good. I know it's great. That's the song of the week. But EM Sports Talk out. We're actually less than a month away from Overtime Blicks, the NFL, college, just football in general, just great conversation and content. That podcast will be released on November 13th, first episode, baby. So keep your eye out for that. The Instagram will be coming out soon. So give it a follow before the show even come out. That'll be awesome for everyone. But yeah. Everybody, have a great weekend. Watch lots of football. Watch the the Khabib versus Gaethje fight tomorrow night. And yeah, be safe. But EM Sports out. I'm out.